So Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul.
Well, a very good evening, everybody. Great to see so many of us here this evening. A great psalm this evening. And I just wanted to start by just asking a very simple question. What is it that you are thankful for? What is it that you are thankful for? Might be something from this week, something that has made you smile, something that has gone well, something that has exceeded your expectations. I was racking my brains trying to think of a little story before I got up here this evening. Hopefully you've got one that's more recent than 25 years ago, which is the one that mine is from. But some of you will know that I actually grew up in this parish in the area around our church. I attended Deepdale Junior School, which is just over by the football stadium, the other side of Deepdale Road. And back when I was at school, it's not there anymore, but the canteen building, it was its own building at sort of one end of the playground. And what you had to do if you're on packed lunches, like I was every morning you would bring in your lunchbox and there'd be a great big plastic container outside of your classroom and you would put your lunchbox into that big container and then the lunchbox fairies, whoever they were, I don't know who did it, but somehow when you went to the canteen at lunchtime and it was your allotted time, your lunchbox was there and it was waiting for you. At the other end of the day, the same thing. You would eat your lunch, you would wrap everything back up in your lunchbox, you would put the box back in the container, and then magically, at the end of the day, the container would be outside your classroom, ready for your lunchbox to pick up, to be taken home. It was a fantastic system. It was very, very efficient. It worked almost every time until the day that it didn't. I don't quite know what happened, but there was one day when I was in year six where, you know, we finished school at the end of the day, went out of the classroom, went into the box to kind of look for our lunch boxes, and, well, mine wasn't in there, and neither was the lunch boxes of any other of the kids. Nobody's lunch boxes were in there. There were some other lunch boxes that none of us recognised. And it was absolute carnage. There were crying children, there were frustrated parents wondering what the school had done with their child's belongings. Most of the teachers just, you know, wanted to get on with marking or getting home for the day, so they scarpered, so there wasn't really anybody around to ask. Save for that one teacher, that one gem who realised what happened, who realised that all of the containers had been put outside the wrong classrooms and went running around the school building, finding the right container, bringing everything back to the right place. Very, very thankful for that one teacher who noticed what was going on and took the time and the effort to fix the problem and resolve it so everybody could go home happy. It's easy, isn't it? When something goes well like that, it's easy to be thankful. But actually, what about those times in life where it's all a little bit of a mess, where everything's going wrong, seasons of life where perhaps we might even feel like God has forsaken us or abandoned us? It's very, very easy for us to become sort of spiritually forgetful. We forget about God's goodness and God's kindness towards us. And that's kind of the big idea of Psalm 103. It's a psalm that encourages us to remember. It's a psalm of praise. It's a psalm that reminds us that no matter what is going on, there are always reasons to praise the Lord. And our psalm, it begins with a call to individual praise. A call to individual praise. Now, we're only going to look at two of these psalms, one tonight and then one next week. But this is actually the first of four psalms where the psalmist David is exhorting his soul to praise the Lord. You'll notice that this, Psalm 104, 105, 106, etc., all start, praise the Lord or bless the Lord, O my soul. Why do we need so many psalms that start in this way? Well, I might suggest actually that one of the reasons is because praise doesn't always come naturally to us. We need to speak to our own souls, preach to our own souls in order to orient our hearts to praise. So David's no fool for talking to himself here. They do say, don't they, that repetition is the mother of learning. And I think that's why we see, even in this psalm, the exhortation to praise the Lord six times as we run through. But how are we to praise the Lord? Well, verse 1 says we're to praise him with all of our inmost being. We're to praise God's holy name with all of our inmost being. And what I love about this is this sense that God's name, it captures the whole of who he is. In other words, we're to praise the whole of who God is with the whole of who we are. It's a good lesson for us today, as I've said, you know, praise, it doesn't always come naturally. It is something that we need to speak to ourselves. And one of the ways we can do this, the psalm tells us, is not to forget all of God's benefits. Praising God with all of our inmost being, it's done at the same time in this psalm as an act of remembrance. And it's how we push back against that spiritual forgetfulness. It's quite striking, you know, the psalm is kind of suggesting this isn't something we just simply drift into. Our hearts don't naturally drift into praise. We often have to consciously choose to do it. I was scrolling through the TV channels a couple of evenings ago. I was bored. I landed on an episode of The Chase. I watched that for about half an hour. Anne Hegarty was having an absolutely terrible run in the final chase. She'd gotten three or four questions wrong in a row. And, you know, the team that was opposing her, they got the question right. They pushed her back. Bradley Walsh was about to restart the clock. And you could just hear for a moment Anne just stopped and sort of said, right, come on, I can do this. And it's that very same sense of urging our souls, come on, get it together, I can do this. It might actually be that for us, a more sort of simple way to encourage ourselves to make this sort of act of praise and remembrance a habit might be to very simply try starting and ending each day with one reason to thank God. And thankfully, even if we have had the worst of days, an absolutely terrible day, and we're really struggling to think of some reasons from our day why we might be able to thank God, this psalm actually offers us no shortage of timeless truths that are applicable no matter the season of our lives for the person who is in Christ. So for the meat of our psalm, what I want to do is actually suggest that this psalm offers us three broad reasons to praise God's holy name. And the first thing to see, looking at verses 3 through 5, is God's abundant grace. His abundant grace. In those verses, verse 3 to 5, we see God give generously and personally, i.e. to individuals, through his abundant grace. Let's have a quick look. Simon has read some of these points to us already, but just a quick look at some of the points in these verses. God forgives all your sins. God heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. This psalm, it starts by reminding us precisely why these things are gifts of grace. And that is because of human sin. They shouldn't be things that we, well, they aren't things that we earn. They aren't things that we deserve. God actually does something about our sin, your sin, my sin, the thing that is making us unworthy to receive the other benefits named in this list. God forgives our sin, removing it from us, nailing it to the cross, his own son bearing the consequences. The psalm's telling us that the very thing that is separating us from God is something that God is doing something about, not something we fix, not something we earn, a benefit offered by God's grace in abundance through his son, Jesus Christ. And that benefit alone should be enough to stir our hearts to praise. But actually, there's more than that. We read that God heals all your diseases. And actually, I'm conscious that of those sort of five bullet points, those five things that we've read so far, it's probably this one in particular that's likely to give many of us pause. We all wrestle, don't we, in various ways and at various stages of our lives with health complaints, physical complaints of various kinds. It could be something that is as simple or as mild as a common cold. It might be that some of us are living with long-lasting and persistent pain or medical conditions that need constant daily management. Some of us may indeed be struggling with or will in the future struggle with terminal illness. And we have to be quite careful with passages like these, because we do know that disease is a sad part of the reality of our world. Even the most fervent believer in Christ isn't immune from experiencing those things. But I think actually the thing to notice here is actually that promise is coupled together in verse 3 with that promise about the forgiveness of sins. And I think actually taken together, what these verses speak of is a removal of the things which set us back, a removal of sin and a removal of sickness. So we know, don't we, in Christ our sin is removed from us, yet we continue to persist in thoughts and behaviours that are not honouring to him. That's why we've said the words of the confession together already in our service this evening. Actually, I think it's just helpful here to just remember that the Christian journey, it's not a short story, but actually it's a long novel, and the longest of novels, in fact. The benefits that we see on this list, they're not a magical wish list of things that the Christian experiences overnight, but they do speak of the direction of travel, the place to which God is bringing us. And sometimes by his grace, we see those benefits and feel those benefits bleeding back through into our time. All medical care that we experience, where we do experience healing from illness and disease, those things are given to us as abundant gifts of God's grace as well. The psalm goes on to say, God redeems your life from the pit. Redemption, God pays the price so that you will not be taken by adversity. He crowns you with love and compassion, quite the opposite of what human sin suggests that we deserve. And then we see this incredible imagery in verse 5. God satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The eagle being a sort of a symbol of strength and vitality. It's no coincidence that that's why the Americans use it on the Great Seal of the United States. Usually whenever Donald Trump is stood at a podium like this one, you will see a picture of an eagle in front of him. And that's meant to symbolize the strength of the United States of America. Now, I am 35 now. I don't know about you, but I'm definitely noticing that as I'm aging, my body's not quite as good as it used to be. It gets tired much faster than it used to. And we reach our sort of physical peak, often in our sort of mid to late 20s, don't we? And some of us are blessed and we get to sort of enjoy that physical peak for a little while. But eventually, for all of us, a physical decline does creep in. And what I love actually about this particular verse is this idea of God sort of giving us good things. Nobody knows better than God in terms of what humans need to be brought back to sort of peak physical condition. He's the God who created us. He knows exactly what we need in order to restore us, to be able to do his work, to be able to carry out his purposes, to be the people who he purposed us to be. I think actually just note as well the pronouns used in these verses. We see five times, your. God's acts of redemption, his acts of deliverance, his restoration, they are for the individual. And his benefits reflect the deeply personal compassion that God feels for each person. All these benefits, they tell us that actually, while God's kindness, it may not always feel like it's staring us in the face because we're dealing with our own sin or the sin of another, or we're dealing with sickness or other aspects of a broken world. God's kindness may not always feel like it's staring us in the face, but it is never absent. Never absent. Actually, the thing to know about God's benefits is that they flow from who he is. They flow from his character and, most importantly, from his compassionate nature. And that is our second point, God's compassionate nature. Verse 6, it is a connecting verse. It brings us into the next section of our psalm. It zooms out a little bit and it shows us that this psalm isn't just about God's benefits for the individual, because verse 6 tells us that God works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. That is the sort of principle behind these next few verses. God works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. How can we sort of have confidence in that? Well, what this psalm does is it helps us to remember that this is exactly what God has done before. He has worked righteousness and justice for the oppressed before. And it does this particularly by calling back to Israel at the time of the exile in the day of Moses. So a little history lesson for all of us. Probably most of us in the room remember that the story of the golden calf starts in Exodus 32. What has happened there is Moses, he has ascended Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments. And while he's up there, the Israelites are there and they're looking at their watches and they're tapping their feet, getting quite impatient, awaiting Moses' return. And what they do is they ask Aaron to make for them a god to worship. So Aaron, he sets about collecting all of the gold, he melts it down and he fashions a golden calf. And the Israelites worship it and they celebrate with feasting and revelry. So God becomes angry at this and he tells Moses that he plans to destroy the people, but Moses pleads for mercy. And God, seemingly from our point of view, relents. When Moses descends and he sees the idolatry, the revelry that's been going on in his absence, he smashes the stone tablets in anger, he destroys the calf and he punishes the people. But he later returns to the mountain to seek God's forgiveness for them. In Exodus 33:13, we see what Moses prays. He says, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." And that verse is why we have verse 7 of our psalm here. God did make his ways known to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel. And actually more so, fast forwarding in Exodus to the next chapter, Exodus 34, verse 6, God reveals his perfections to Moses. In other words, his grace. And the verse reads, "He passed in front of Moses, proclaiming, 'The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin.'" That verse kind of confirms what the psalmist is saying in verse 9 and 10 about the Lord not treating people as their sins deserve. I love actually the contrast. You know, verses 3 to 5, we had a list there of the things that God can do for the individual. actually, in these two verses, we have kind of the opposite. We have a list of things that God will not do for his people. He will not always accuse the person who is in Christ. Sin will not be the lens through which God views them. He will not repay us according to our iniquities. These verses say to us that God's wrath is great, or wrath if you want to be southern, but his mercy is greater. He doesn't keep on criticizing. He doesn't keep on holding things against his people. He does not maintain his anger for long. But better than that, he has great love for those who fear him. And so he removes their transgressions from him. Actually, what that means is God isn't at all surprised by human weakness. He knows all about us. He knows the sinful condition of our hearts. He knows what we're like, what we get up to, what we think. Actually, the wonderful news here is just like the people in Exodus were not defined by their worst day, they're not defined by that idolatry in that day. For people in Christ, we will not be defined by our worst day either. God's compassion is shown in that he sees all that his people do and think, and yet he stays steadfast with them. And God's love and God's rule are everlasting, which brings us to our third big reason to praise God's holy name, and that is his enduring kingdom. His enduring kingdom. So while our lives often sort of feel fragile, God's kingdom endures. Verses 15 and 16, they compare the lives of mortal men to plants and grass and flowers. Now, I don't know about you, we've probably got some very keen gardeners in the room, probably some very skilled gardeners in the room. I am absolutely terrible at anything like that. I'm terrible at anything practical, any kind of work with my hands. I have a gardener who comes twice a week and looks after that for me. But clearly the person who owned my house before I owned it, they were very, very good at that type of thing. Those people sort of have sort of meticulously planned gardens with lots of different plants, things that come into bloom at different points through the season. You know, I went on holiday for a week earlier this month, and when I got back, a completely different set of things were in bloom versus when I left home. So every Monday morning, you can open your curtain to a very new set of colours, a vibrant array of colours that were not there last week. And this passage sort of tells us, well, actually, that's what the lives of mortal men are like. Here one day or one week, gone the next. And most of us in this room, unless we're registered with something like ancestry.co.uk, and we probably don't actually know the names of family members going back more than three or four generations. But that's not what it's like with God. See, God's benefits, they're not just for the individual, they're not just for his people living now, but they're for all his people for all time. And that's true for those, as we see in verse 18, who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. Kind of over the brevity of human existence is God's great love for those who fear him. It's those who sort of respond rightly in praise and fear who will get to enjoy the fullness of this covenant relationship, praising him before his throne forever. And we know that his throne and his rule are secure. His throne in heaven, his kingdom seen through all creation. We can praise God's holy name with all our innermost being because while we live in unstable times, God's throne is unmoved and his promises permanent. Just finally, our psalm, it started with a call to individual praise. It ends with a call to universal praise. Because actually, in God's enduring kingdom, all creation is called to praise God. We all praise God individually, but that chorus that starts in the individual heart, it joins with an almighty song of praise with all creation. Let's read again verses 20 to 22. They say, "Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you, his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion." So what magnificent imagery in those three verses. We, though we are undeserving, can enjoy the benefit of coming together with a whole company of heaven to praise God's holy name in worshipping community. This psalm, it began with a command, praise the Lord, O my soul. It ends with the same command, praise the Lord, O my soul. And the big idea is that there are always reasons to obey that command. This psalm is simply realistic about the fact that we need to be reminded of them periodically. Some of you might have been sitting here this evening thinking, well, sure, all of these benefits, they sound amazing. They sound wonderful. But actually, how do I know that these benefits are for me? And actually, this whole psalm, it speaks to the fact that these are benefits that flow out of God's abundant generosity and his compassion for and to a people who have no right to enjoy them. Remember the Israelites and the golden calf turning their backs on the very God who pours out these gifts so generously. But God didn't forsake them. I don't think it's a coincidence that the very first benefit this psalm mentions in verse 3 is the forgiveness of sins. And the gospel tells us the means through which our sins are forgiven, through the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. We access that benefit and all of these benefits through the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. As we put our trust in him, as we turn ourselves to him, put our trust in him. What I love about this is just the sort of certainty of the language used through this psalm as well. The psalm doesn't say, well, God forgives sins and then sometimes for some of his people he heals the diseases. No, it says God forgives your sins and heals all your diseases. And that means for the person whose sins are forgiven, the person who is trusting, believing, who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, actually access to all of these benefits are yours. They might not all be visible to you right now, or they might not all completely make a lot of sense right now. But if you are in Christ Jesus, the journey has begun and the destination is secure. Well, I'd say to you, if you're here this evening, you think, well, I'm not sure if I do have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not sure if I am trusting in him. Do please chat to people on your tables. I'm sure there'll be people on your tables very happy to chat to you. Come and speak to anybody who's been up at the front this evening as well. Be very happy to chat further. And I think I just encourage all of us this week to just commit these sort of three broad reasons that we've heard to memory, these reasons we have to praise God. God's abundant grace, the things and the benefits he pours out for the individual who trusts in Christ. God's compassionate nature, the source from which these benefits, these graces flow from. And God's enduring kingdom, a place from which we can enjoy them for evermore, everlasting. Even when we don't feel like it, even when we are in the throes of despair, it's right that we preach this psalm to our souls in order to remind ourselves of what is true and what will always be true. Let's pray together. Yeah, Lord God, we do just thank you for who you are. We thank you for your abundant grace, kindness, compassion, and love for your people. Lord, we recognize that so often we come up against circumstances in our lives that can cause us to be spiritually forgetful, that can cause us to forget your kindness to us. Lord, we just pray that in those moments you would meet us. We would know your presence, we would know your kindness and your goodness. We would feel you talking to us, reminding us of these truths. Lord, we just pray you would help us as a worshiping community here in Preston at All Saints. Be a community that constantly encourages one another, preaches to one another, reminding one another of your goodness to us. And just pray as well that we would in turn be able to go out into our parish, into our workplaces, schools, wherever we are, and just share and tell the glorious truth of your gospel, your love and your kindness, so that others may grow in the love and knowledge of you. In Jesus' name, amen.